your garden, Greta. I picked a lot of tomatoes and grapes yesterday. Got to start about gardens to start with.
Well, and we're going to finish off with gardens later in the show. My tomatoes, lovely, but I have to say that a lot of my crops got crowded out by weeds. We had a busy summer here at KHOI, and I think my garden was affected. But the big excitement for me is ripping out all those weeds, and I'm going to be planting some red clover as a cover crop.
Cover crop.
Yes, that's the hot thing, and I want to get some nitrogen in my soil, so I'm using the legume of the clover to do that.
We're going to probably try and do a show on cover crops in the near future, right?
Well, we'd like to get someone from PFI in.
Okay, great. Well, we'll look forward to that. And let's check in with what kind of weather is being predicted for this week at the start of the show. It is September, so these are the balmy golden days of autumn. And nights are cool. Today should be a high of around 75 degrees with rain and thunderstorms predicted for tonight. And also thunderstorms are expected on Tuesday, mostly in the afternoon and throughout the night, with 100% chance of rain predicted for Wednesday morning early. The temperature these days are expected to remain around 70 degrees, and by the end of the week, the sunny days should return, but temperatures are going to start dropping to around 60 degrees.
Okay, well, you've convinced me to use today to get the weeds out and the seed in so that it can rain in. We want to remind you that KHOI is also streaming live on the web at khoifm.org, if you could help us get the word out about that. Also, all of KHOI's shows are being archived on our website at khoifm.org, even the music shows. So if you miss your favorite music show or want to check one out that happens late at night, you can go to our archive.
That's right. If you missed a show or want to hear a show again, if there was like some piece of information or a piece of music that you wanted to revisit, the shows are archived in real time now. It's automated, and you'll see the Listen Live button on the KHOI homepage at khoifm.org, where you can find both the live stream and the archives of the show. So tell your friends and family, especially people who are out of our listening area.
Well, we have guests with us here in the studio. Local Talk is about our community life, so thank you for coming. And for starters, welcome Christine DeCordreau and Hannah Frederick. Christine is from the YSS and Hannah Frederick from the Historical Society.
We just met Christine Friday when she walked into KHOI, literally. You are the public information officer for Youth and Children's Services, Christine DeCordreau.
Yes.
And you came with an announcement.
Well, this week, Wednesday, at 4:30 to 6 o'clock, down here in downtown Ames, at 420 Kellogg, we'll be celebrating our 100th anniversary of the building. YSS has been servicing Ames for about 38 years now, and we acquired the municipal building, which is the old City Hall for Ames, and it's its 100th anniversary, and with it being the sesquicentennial of Ames, we decided to go ahead and throw a celebration.
This is an official part of the sesquicentennial program for the year, is that correct?
Yes. We'll shut down our section of Kellogg. There will be a tent, so we're going rain or shine. And we'll be there with the Dixieland Band. There will be kettle corn, root beer. We'll have Marianne Campbell in attendance as well. And she'll do the rededication of our building as well as a ribbon cutting.
Sounds like fun. What time does this start?
4:30.
4:30.
Yes.
Where exactly is the tent going to be?
Right in front of the building on 420 Kellogg.
That's between Main Street and 5th Street?
Yeah.
5th
yes.
Street, yes. Tell us, why is this happening?
Well, considering Ames is 150 years old now, we figured the building wouldn't be there without us acquiring it. So we figured we should appreciate the history and bring recognition to the area. And this is one of the buildings that's still here mm-hmm. after 100 years.
So. Right. And many of us actually remember it as the municipal building, including the fire station and the police station.
Yes.
And the city jail.
Yes.
We're all in the building.
We'll actually do tours of the building, and we'll tell all about that and have we actually have the blueprint of the old building and what we've done to upgrade the building, and we'll give tours. We'll actually have the AMP kids. They'll be doing the tours.
So the AMP Kids.
The AMP Kids, AMP is one of our organizations that we have, one of our groups, Achieving Maximum Potential. We have several different programs, and this is one of the programs. This is for foster care youth. A lot of them are from the Ames area or surrounding areas, so they'll be in attendance. We'll also have kids that are from our other programs in attendance to this. Actually, I believe we'll have two of them speaking during our program, which starts at 5 in front of the building.
Excellent. This is one of our historic buildings downtown.
Yes.
Hannah Frederick, you're here from the Historical Society. Can you fill us in a little bit on the building?
Yes, I can. It has a pretty rich history. In 1914, the citizens of Ames approved that a building be built there for the purpose of a municipal hall. On August 6, 1915, the cornerstone was laid for the municipal building with a huge ceremony. It was a huge thing in Ames. 2,000 people packed that corner right there. And the cornerstone was laid by Mayor Parley Sheldon at the time, and a very prominent citizen, Judge C.G. Lee, spoke at the event. So it was a really huge event at the time. And then at the time of the laying of the cornerstone, a time capsule was placed in the cornerstone, actually, and a lot of people don't know that. And different newspapers and photos and all sorts of things were put in the capsule. And that did not get opened until 1996, which is when YSS took over the building, and they opened up the time capsule. Although some water damage got in, but for the most part, we were able to save all of those 1915 artifacts. And the Ames Historical Society has all of those archived and preserved, and citizens of Ames can come on in and look at those at any time. And actually, we have a large exhibit right now in our building that showcases a lot of the really great 1915 artifacts.
Give us a teaser. What kind of artifacts were in there?
I think the fun part is just looking back at old newspaper articles, and then they put in just different photos, and I think it's just really neat to look back and think of what the citizens at that time thought was important enough to put into this time capsule that was going to be opened, you know, 80 years later.
So they put photographs in there?
Yeah, there's photographs in there. And a lot of them got really faded and damaged, but we were able to enhance them, and so we were able to restore them to their original.
What did they show?
There's a lot of pictures of downtown, you know, that's a main thing was a lot of the buildings on Main Street. Some are just prominent citizens standing on the street. Some homes, just some random homes in different intersections. Just really iconic, what they would think iconic at the time, which was probably Main Street. That was the bustling part of town at the time.
Uh-huh. Can you tell us a little bit more about the history of the building, how it was used throughout the years?
It was used as the city hall, essentially, until the city hall eventually moved into what's now the city hall, which was used to be the old high school. So it was used as the fire department. It was used as the like you mentioned, the police department as well, and then all the most of the city offices as well. And then the big part of the building, big part of the history of the building is, of course, in 1970, which a lot of Ames residents will remember, there was the city hall bombing.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep, in the basement part of the police station was in the basement, and a bomb went off. Someone who, they never caught the suspect, and so they don't know to this day really who it was. They have some idea, but nothing official. So yeah, a bomb went off in the morning, and no one was killed, but some people were seriously injured.
As I remember it, and maybe somebody can actually confirm or deny, the story was that there was one person that was injured who was in the jail. That person had been fired that day, and instead of going home, that person went out to a bar and was then stopped for driving while intoxicated afterwards. And then he was put in the city jail overnight, and a bomb went off. So that would define a really bad day. Probably not so funny for him. But that's, now, I don't know if that story is actually true, but that's the story that circulated at the time. But he was not killed, as the story goes.
What year was that?
1970.
Turbulent times.
It was kind of always rumored that it was the Weather Underground that did it, but nobody knows. It was a perfect crime.
Yep. Exactly.
So this building was kind of state-of-the-art when it was built 100 years ago.
Yeah, it was. And it was kind of a time in Ames in which a lot of improvements were made. That was the same year in which, you know, the Sheldon Mun was being built. Mm-hmm. The what's now the Octagon Center for the Arts, that building was the Greeley building that was being built at the same time. So really Ames was getting a lot of really great, iconic, important buildings at that time. And the municipal building was one of those.
This is really a beautiful thing that the building has been restored and preserved and repurposed by YSS. How is the building to use by YSS? Do you guys find it a comfortable building to be in?
We find it comfortable. It used to house all of our programs, so it used to be pretty crowded in there. But mm-hmm. right now, we just have our main headquarters there. We have several other locations. We actually have a new location getting ready to open up on the Skywalk soon. So that's with the IHYC, the Iowa Homeless Youth Centers, and that's part of one of the YSS's organizations.
It's got a beautiful marble staircase.
Mm-hmm.
In the
yes,
opening.
It does. It has a lot of character to the building, and we've kept it true to a lot of its old character, which is pretty nice considering how old the building is. So I'm on the third floor. Uh-huh. So most of the area that I'm in was where the sleeping quarters were for the fire department.
For the firemen.
For the firemen. And
Christine, you're actually new.
Yes. Tuesday
welcome.
Was technically my first day.
Are you from Ames, or have you come here for this job?
I've been in Ames since 2007. I graduated from in Chicago, Illinois. Iowa State is my father's alma mater, so that's what brought me here.
And what does it mean to you to be working for YSS?
I love it. It's an organization that touches so many people and helps so many people in all of Iowa. I get to do a lot of things that get to touch a lot of people, which is really nice. I wouldn't have such an opportunity if I was in such a big city or town. I really enjoy it.
Thank you for coming by. And tell us again the details of the event, when it is, where it is.
Wednesday, starting at 4:30, going till 6, with a program at 5. We will be at 420 Kellogg, rain or shine, and there will be a dedication as well as some youth speaking about how YSS has touched them, as well as recognizing the building as being 100 years old. There will be a Dixieland band, kettle corn, root beer. We'll do tours of the building. The Ames Historical Society will be setting up a time capsule display on our third floor, so you'll get to see some of the historic artifacts that we have uncovered over the time. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hannah, any last words about the building?
This should be a pretty exciting event, and it's a great building, a very iconic building to Ames history, so you should come out and support it.
Thank you, both of you, for coming. This is Local Talk, and we're speaking with Christine DeCudra from Youth and Shelter Services, and she came by to invite us, all of us, to celebrate the 100th anniversary and rededication of their building, which is now the headquarters for Youth and Shelter Services. And it used to be the Ames Municipal Building, including the police station and the fire station. And the celebration will be taking place in a large tent on Wednesday, September 10th at 4:30 p.m. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, and please come back to KHOI in your work. We're going to play some music, play musical chairs, and then we'll be back with the folks who brought us all of those Psy statues that we're suddenly seeing around town. Who did that? By Joe Hanick from his CD Farmer Song. Joe was actually a farmer from southern Iowa, Elston specifically, who ended up studying engineering here at Iowa State. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Thanks for staying with us, and I'm Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts, together with Greta Anderson. Speaking of Iowa State, as many of you have already noticed, there is a new presence around town that's connected to Iowa State. Suddenly, there are life-size statues of Cy everywhere in Ames. Actually, there are 30 of them, to be exact, and they all look different. Crystal Davis from the Ames Chamber of Commerce Economic Development agreed to come into KHOI and explain. Welcome to Local Talk, Crystal. And where did all the Cy statues come from?
I'm pleased to be here to tell you a little bit about Zeglin City. This is a project, a community service project, that is from the Leadership Ames Class 27. And Leadership Ames is a program of the Ames Chamber of Commerce.
What is Leadership Ames?
Well, Leadership Ames has been around. We're about ready to start our 28th year here this week with a new class. But it's a program that is offered to chamber members that they have to go through an application process, and then they're selected for the class. And they learn, it's a year-long program of learning more about the Ames community, civic opportunities, different topics such as healthcare, City of Ames, quality of life, business and industry, and also leadership development. And then part of the requirement is they have to do a community service project.
That was the 27th class. Does that mean that Leadership Ames has been going on for 27 years?
That is correct.
It's an old program.
Yes, very much so. One of the oldest in the state. We think we've got a great thing going here. And we've had over 400 community members go through the program over the years.
What is the mission of this program?
Really, it is to help promote civic awareness, kind of tell the behind-the-scenes story for class, and also to help promote leadership development. And then our end goal is that every class, they take the next step, and then they, maybe if they haven't volunteered for a committee before, they volunteer, they get on a commission, they take the next step at their career, and just help Ames move forward.
So when you say they, who ends up taking this class?
Right. So it is a chamber program, so you have to either be a chamber member yourself or work for a chamber member. And so there's a myth out there that it's for only young professionals, and that's not true at all. So we try to select a class that has emerging leaders, maybe leaders who are already kind of midstream in their career, and then what I might like to call our more seasoned leaders and career folks, and we try to pick from a wide range of career backgrounds and experiences.
When you say they're chamber members, that essentially means a business that is part of the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
That is correct. For example, some of our guests here today, we have someone here who's Sarah Batani, who's from Bankers Trust. Bankers Trust is a member of, in their own right, of the chamber, as well as a Mackenzie Heddens, who works for Iowa State University. They are a chamber member.
Welcome, Sarah. Yeah. Mackenzie.
Thank you.
We also have some folks who can be an individual member where they just represent themselves. And we've had quite a few of those folks who've been selected for the class as well.
So an individual who is not part of a business,
mm-hmm.
but that individual is a member of the chamber?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Why do individuals join the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, sometimes we have some who are retired from a business, and they just want to stay part of the chamber community, and so they might join as at our individual member level so they can still network and keep those connections alive. We also have some, maybe a young entrepreneur who they're just getting started. They can't quite afford, honestly, to be in at a full business level, so they might come in representing themselves just to kind of test the water, see what's out there,
mm-hmm.
and partake in some of our membership opportunities. And some people just do it because they like our organization and they just want to be part of it.
Is this an invitation class, or do folks apply to it, or how does it?
It's not an invitation. So anyone who is a chamber member, or we have had some folks who've applied who weren't chamber members at the time, who then become members if they're selected. That is one of the requirements. You have to become a chamber member at one of our levels. So, yeah, we advertise it to our chamber membership and our chamber monthly update, which gets circulated in the Ames Tribune on our website. And so, yeah, anyone can apply.
And a certain number of people are chosen for it?
Right. We do have a selection committee. No chamber staff can vote. So we have a selection committee made up of board members, Leadership Ames alumni, and such, and they can choose between 16 and 20 people per year.
Yeah. And then who teaches the class?
So we have a facilitator who takes care of our leadership development sessions, and then we rely on Leadership Ames alumni to help coordinate the other sessions, help line up tours, speakers, other activities for the group based on our topic of the day. So the alumni help plan the days for each of them.
This is, in a sense, a tradition that's being passed down.
It is. And so the community service project, in years past, the class has always been divided up into smaller groups, and they get to choose their own projects. So in the past, every year, we've had 3 to 4 smaller projects come out. And this year, the class was approached with the idea for Cyclone City to do one large project. So this is the first time ever that the class has voted to come together and do one big project.
And that's Cyclone City.
And that it became Cyclone City, right.
Okay, so we want to ask Mackenzie and Sarah about that real briefly. But before you go, Crystal, I know you have to leave in a second. How does this program affect Ames? How does it affect leadership in Ames?
Well, we like to think that our alumni have, like I mentioned before, they might have learned something. We have the, how do I want to say it? They have aha moments during Leadership Ames. They see the behind the scenes, maybe hear the correct story, find out.
Behind the scenes of what?
Of how city government works, how business and industry, how community development happens, how, you know, on healthcare day, we learn a little bit about health insurance, what it's like to be a doctor here, how they recruit doctors, for example, so that we have a better understanding of our community. And then we feel that our alumni then, they're the ones that are moving Ames forward now, and they can take what they've learned, their leadership development skills, and then not only move themselves forward, but themselves at their careers, at their jobs.
Is this a unique program to Ames, or is this something that a lot of Chamber of Commerces do?
There are quite a few chambers that do offer this. We like to think we have one of the best ones in the state, of course. But yeah, there's quite a few that exist. They all have slightly different application processes and how many people they allow in and types of their topics. But so we're right up there with the best of them, and I think we've got something great going.
I know that you need to run, so if Mackenzie and Sarah, if you can stay, you can explain to us, how did Cyclone City happen?
Yeah, so it all really started.
This is Mackenzie Heddens.
Yes, sorry, Mackenzie Heddens. I'm one of the tri-chairs for Cyclone City and work at Iowa State University. So it really started, we had a nonprofit day. We were at Mainstream Living, and the people there and the people involved and the things that they do for the people in our community really struck the hearts of the members in our class. And I think we all just felt compelled to do something for these folks who were in need of people like us in the community. So,
these folks being who?
Well, like I said, that day we were actually at Mainstream Living. We also had a gentleman, Vic Moss, come in and talk to us from the Emergency Residence Project and, you know, speak to us about the people they serve in their organization. So, you know, we all went away from that day feeling compelled to do something. We started discussing what is it that we want to do for our community service project. Dan Colhane at the Ames Chamber approached us one day with this idea to do this large-scale project, which would definitely involve all 16 of our class members. And we thought deliberately about it and decided we wanted to go for it.
He specifically proposed the Psi statues?
He did. It was not called Cyclone City at the time, but the idea of the life-size statues around Ames, sponsored by businesses, decorated by artists, was proposed to us.
Do you know where he got this idea?
It's been told to us that him, Jeff Johnson, the president of the Alumni Association, and Carol Custer, the director of marketing, had been discussing this project for several years, in fact. Similar projects have taken place across the country. It originated in Chicago with the cows on parade, and we thought it was time to do something like this in Ames, and they thought we were a good group who could perhaps take something like this on, and they were right, and so we went full throttle on this.
I actually was wondering, who is Cy? looked him up online.
Sure.
And actually, Cy is 60 years old this year.
He is. Yes, that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. So this year, we will be celebrating Cy's 60th birthday. We'll celebrate it during homecoming this year, which is early to mid-October. There's a little surprise on the way, so stay tuned for that. And everyone, make sure you go out and check out these Cy's. Like she said, there's 30 around town, scattered all over the place, but there'll be something extra special during homecoming. So.
Okay.
Leave you with that cliffhanger.
And now, I always wondered why a bird? And so I looked it up, and what I read was that he's a bird because they couldn't figure out how to make a tornado into a mascot. And so the students of Iowa State decided they wanted the cardinal.
You know, I should know that better considering I work at Iowa State. It sounds true to me. You convinced me, so I guess that's probably true. But no, I mean, Cy, you know, he's the beloved mascot of the Iowa State Cyclones, and everyone loves him. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, 2 years old or 60 years old. So,
in fact, the person who made for the first Cy was actually the person who owned Collegiate Manufacturers right across the street from here.
Oh, sure.
So
okay.
Cy actually was born here on Douglas Avenue.
Very cool.
60 years ago.
A lot of history right there.
Anyway, so tell us how this project happened. What was involved?
Yeah, so like I said, it was proposed to us actually back in October, so we're coming on a year now for this project. And Crystal explained a little about the class, and in fact, we actually graduated back in May, so we're still working pretty diligently to carry out this project and make sure it's seamless for everyone.
Where did the statues actually come from?
We had them created, so the original design, you're probably familiar with the bronze Cy outside of the Alumni Association. And we essentially copied that design with permission of Iowa State University, of course, and created fiberglass replicas from this company called Cow Painters out of Chicago. It was quite the process to get him just right because, of course, Cy is a very unique mascot. He's not your typical panther or duck or what have you. So it was quite the interesting process there. But I think we got him just right.
Several artists painted him. Is that correct? Who were the artists?
That's correct. I'll actually turn this portion over to my colleague here, Sarah Batani. She is the chair of the artist committee, so she would be able to tell you a lot more about that.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So we did some searching for some artists, and we wanted to keep it as local as possible. We were able to send out some requests for artists' submissions early in the process, and we were able to get a small handful back at that time. We asked them to create how they would design Cy, what they would do with it, and it was really open to anything they wanted to choose. We got some submissions back from local artists. We didn't feel like we had enough, so we continued to ask for more artists to submit and reached out to different places, which was helpful, and then ended up getting probably 60 submissions, which was really helpful, and artists could submit more than one design. Then we were able to take those designs to our sponsors, so the sponsor could look through, decide how they wanted their Cy to look, and make a few tweaks or change something to make it for them, and work directly with the artist to make it good for everyone.
Mm-hmm. The sponsors now pay for the statues, and also money is being raised for which organizations?
Yeah, so all the sponsors pay to either own or sponsor the statue for the tour, which will go through December 5th. And all of the money will go towards charity and a scholarship for Iowa State University. The three charities that our class voted to help support include Mainstream Living, the Emergency Residence Project, and Youth and Shelter Services. And then, like I said, a scholarship for an Ames resident to attend Iowa State University.
That's great. So one of the questions I've heard a lot is, how much did these statues cost the city? And in fact, they didn't cost anything. They are raising money for organizations in town.
That's right. So, yep. All of the funds come directly from private businesses or individuals even. You know, we're not spending tax dollars on this, so I'd like to just clear that up. But Yeah, it's a fun project. There's a way for anyone to get involved, so it's been really exciting.
That's great. Did you enjoy working on it too, Sarah?
I loved working on this project. It was so refreshing and exciting. It was actually more exciting when it was still a secret, because we knew it was coming and we knew everyone was going to love it. And then they came out last weekend and we've gotten so much great feedback that it's really rewarding to see that. It was a great project.
Well, it was a well-kept secret. This is Mackenzie Haddens.
Yep.
And Sarah Batani. They've been part of the Leadership Aims class that created Cyclone City, the statues around town. Also, Crystal Davis from the Ames Chamber of Commerce was describing the project. Thank you so much for coming in and explaining the project to us and for your service to the city of Ames.
And thank you very much. And can we mention just one more thing,
sure.
Which is that we will be able to auction off a part of these statues. Some of them will go to auction in December. So watch for more information about that, because we would like everyone to help.
Okay, be sure to let us know here in Kitchell and come back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Let the wild winter wind bellow and blow. I'm as warm as a July toe. May. Peaches on the shelf, potatoes in the bin. Supper ready, everybody come on and taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Grandma put it all in jars. Well, there's a root cellar, fruit cellar down below. Watch your head now and down you go. Peaches on the shelf, potatoes in the bin. Supper ready, everybody come on in. Taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Grandma put it all in jars. Maybe you are weary and you don't give a damn. I bet you never tasted her blackberry jam. Peaches on the shelf, potatoes in the bin. Supper ready, everybody, come on in now. Taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Grandma put it all in jars. Oh, she got magic in her, you know what I mean. She puts the sun and rain in with her beans. Peaches on the shelf, potatoes in the bin. Supper ready, everybody, come on in. Taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Grandma put it all in jars. But with the snow and the economy and everything, I think I'll just stay down here and eat until spring. Peaches on the shelf, potatoes in the bin. Supper ready, everybody, come on and taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Grandma put it all in jars. I go down to see Grandma, I gain a lot of weight. With her dear hand, she gives me plate after plate. She cans the pickles sweet and ill, and the songs of the whippoorwill, and the morning dew, and the evening moon. I really gotta go down and see her soon, 'cause the canned goods that I buy at the store ain't got the summer in them anymore. You bet, Grandma, as sure as you're born, I'll take some more potatoes and a thunderstorm. Peaches on the shelf, potatoes in the bin. Supper ready, everybody, come on and taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Taste a little of the summer. Grandma put it all in jars.
the chill of fall enters the air and football season kicks in, our next guests propose to give us a figurative, if not literal, taste of the summer in the second annual Edible Garden Tour of Ames. This tour features several urban gardens as demonstrations for other gardeners who might want to kind of up their game. Welcome to the show, Amanda Raster, event coordinator, and Jackie Nestor, one of the gardeners whose work will be on display.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Amanda, the traditional vegetable plot is about a 20 by 20 foot square with neat rows of vegetable crops. I gather that you've found some people who have more to look at than just that.
Yeah, one of the stops on the tour is the Squaw Creek Community Garden. So that's a conglomeration of about 60 different vegetable plots, and each are sort of neatly spaced. They're about 10 by 40 each, but there's a lot of different styles of gardening there.
Oh, that sounds interesting. So these are garden plots that people rent?
Mm-hmm. Yep. People can rent plots through the city starting in the spring. Some people rent one, some people rent multiple, and they pay their fee at the beginning, and then they garden through the season.
And walk us through the day. This is Sunday. When does it start? Where does it start?
So the garden tour this year is broken up into two time blocks. One is from noon to 2, and the other is from 2 to 4. And so hosts have been assigned to a certain time block, and then the public is open to visit the gardens within that block completely at their leisure. We're also coordinating a bike tour, and that will be sort of more officially coordinated in terms of time. The bike tour starts at the Food at First Garden at 11 a.m., and the garden will be serving a snack to highlight some of the produce that they've been growing and to highlight what's bountiful at this time of year. So that'll happen at 11.
Where is the Food at First Garden?
The Food at First Garden is at the Trinity Reformed.
It's 3626 Ontario Street.
Maybe Jackie could speak to that a little since we're talking
sure.
about that garden.
Sure. So part of our student organization, the Sustainable Agriculture Student Association, we thought that this was a really important tour to have. And 2 years ago, we took over the Food at First Garden in cooperation with Food at First. So all of our produce there, it's about a 50 by 70 foot, 75 foot garden. All of that is donated. So we thought it would be really interesting to have it start at that garden and then go ahead and go from there. So we'll be serving a little taste from our garden. It's not going to be a huge meal, but a good snack. So that'll start at around 11, and then we'll shift over to Squaw Creek after that, mm-hmm. get started with some demos later on.
Yeah. So who, besides the students in the Sustainable Ag Association at ISU, who else works at that garden at Food at First?
Sure. So we have a lot of the students come out each week, and that's the main volunteers. But we also have had some volunteers from Trinity Reformed Church, which is great. We've spoken during their sermon. We have a very good relationship with Pastor Kelly, who's let us really kind of advertise the garden as it is in their backyard, which it's been there for several years, but it's changed leadership since. So we're really trying to get some new leaders out there. That would be great. Other than that, a few other ISU students and other community members on our garden listserv.
And you have a variety of other gardeners who are doing various different sorts of things with
sure.
their land.
Right, they are. So one of the gardens that we'll be stopping at is a residence, and they have a little bit of actual land to do gardening, but they also plant in containers. So we're having a demonstration so participants can see the types of vegetables that grow well in containers for people who don't have any access to land. So it's really ideal, an ideal stop for someone who maybe lives in an apartment or on a second floor and really only has like window space or porch space.
And which, who is that then?
That's Ruth Powell.
Okay.
It's at 818 Burnett Avenue. And that demonstration is at 1245.
Okay. And I see you have maps in front of you.
We do.
And a schedule. Where are those going to be available for people?
So there are several copies of the brochure with the map available right now at Wheatsfield. We're hoping to drop some more off just at various places downtown. It's also available on the event Facebook page. It's Ames Edible Garden Tour. And then you could also email us for a copy at amesediblegarden@gmail.com. And we'll also be dropping some brochures off at the various garden stops. So if someone decides they want to start at Food at First, then we'll have some copies there and people can take them with and proceed to the rest of the stops.
Okay. And so I kind of interrupted the list of interesting types of gardens that are going to be showcased.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there?
So then after the stop at Ruth Powell's, then the bike component is moving on to Matt Liebman and Laura Merrick's resident garden. They have a very interesting garden. Matt and Laura focus a lot on weed management in their garden, and they've just been noticing some transitions in the weed regimes over the past few years in a very positive way. So they've noticed that some native species are sort of taking over as quote-unquote weeds, which is a good thing because it's sort of crowding out what we would consider actual weed pests. So they'll probably talk about that. Matt and Laura do a lot of their own seed saving, so they'll probably talk about some varieties that they've sort of nurtured from year to year and different traits that they've selected for various characteristics, whether it's productivity or, there's lots of other things that they might select for. So they'll probably talk about that. That'll be interesting.
And Matt he does some study on prairie plants.
Yeah, he's an agronomist at the Iowa State University, and he is the professor who runs the Marsden Farm. And so that's more focused on crop rotation. I don't know if they specifically have prairie in that study, but that's sort of what he's known for.
Okay. All right, then moving on, we have Barb Wenzel and Asa Fisher.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we haven't actually been to their garden, but we've heard great things about it. And then moving on to that, we're looking at the 13th Street Farm. This is on the corner of Ridgewood and 13th Street. It's a Practical Farmers of Iowa garden/farm.
One of the big sunflowers?
Yes, the one with the big sunflowers. It's right by the railroad tracks. You can't really miss it. And they have several gardeners that share plots in that little space. And the individuals who actually own the plot, Effie and Steve Cannon, do a lot of their own breeding and selection also. So they have some really interesting varieties from different parts of the world that they're cultivating and selecting seed for. So that'll be interesting. They were part of the tour last year, and they have a pretty amazing apple tree in that plot also. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
people really enjoyed that space because there are many gardeners who have plots in that small area, and so it's just neat to see people's gardening preferences and just all the different types of things that they grow in one area.
It's also really interesting to see how the scientific expertise of ISU is really playing into these Ames gardens.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that they're especially great people to learn from just because they do come at it from a sort of scientific perspective, which can be very intimidating for people starting out gardening, but I think that there's definitely skills that could be learned from that.
I went on this tour last year.
Okay.
It was really, really fun.
Oh, good.
Really a fun experience. Is this the second year?
This is the second year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we should just finish out I didn't know that Ames High School had a garden.
They do. Mm-hmm. This is the second year that they've had it. It's a group of students who were in Mike Todd's, I think it's environmental science class, and they just decided that they wanted to start growing food. And it's a very similar concept to Food at First, where everything they grow is donated to local charities. But they really try to not only have it be a fun experience, but they also try to incorporate some sort of learning curriculum into the activities that they do at the garden. So we're really excited to have them a part of the tour this year.
Yeah, it brings awareness about this program.
It absolutely does.
And, Jackie, you were telling me that you were on a different kind of garden tour yesterday.
Yeah, I did the local cycle with Prairie Rivers of Iowa, and it was really fun.
And so that was an event that you actually paid admission to and then cycled, you said, 40 miles?
Correct. It was a culinary tour, so at each stop they had local food from the cafe. They had a few places along the way that were serving wine and beer, just kind of like a mini Reg Bryan Ames. So.
And visiting many of the nearby farms that supply Farmers Market and Wheatsfield with produce.
Right, including Red Granite Farm, Onion Creek, Mustard Seed, and ended over near Prairie Moon. So it was a nice day, nice tour. So it's great.
Incredible weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing that we recognized where a lot of people wanted to do the local cycle, but it was a bit expensive due to the culinary portion of the bike ride, so we really strive to make this tour children and family friendly, so our tour is going to be free.
That's great, and it is really such a part of our life. It's part of our culture to grow things here in this luscious soil that we have, and like I said, with all the expertise. So I don't know. We've had two very central cultural icons in this show, Psy and gardens. So you are actually students at the university. Is there a program in sustainable agriculture then that you are part of, or is this just a club that you're part of?
There are two organizations within the university that are helping to put this on, the Community and Regional Planning Graduate Program, and then the Sustainable Agriculture Student Association. And so there are numerous students that are in the Graduate Program for Sustainable Agriculture that are involved in both of these organizations that are helping to put this on.
And is that a large program?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I'm in the Sustainable Agriculture and Community and Regional Planning. It's a double degree major. It has been growing. The Sustainable Agriculture major, by its trait, is actually interdisciplinary. So you cannot just be Sustainable Agriculture. So you have to be housed in agronomy, political science, plant pathology, sociology. So a lot of different majors. So it's been growing steadily each year. I think Sustainable Agriculture, we have about 64 mm-hmm. students in the master's program, which is great, and it continues to grow. So,
okay, and it's kind of a challenging field to get into with so many of our systems not really supporting the food aspect of agriculture. It's more about commodity.
Right, and I think that's where a tour like this is important because it allows people to see sort of where certain types of food come from, like actual food, vegetables, fruits and vegetables. And it gives people a chance to see that it's really not that difficult to do it yourself. For a beginning gardener, you don't have to start big. You don't have to go crazy. It's very accessible if you want to start getting into it. But I think once people start gardening, it sort of opens up this whole new horizon for them. It creates awareness about what you're putting in your body and how your food is grown. And I think that that's important, especially in Iowa, because we know that Iowa is very predominantly agricultural state, but a lot of it is out of sight, out of mind, because it is commodity based. And so we don't see that every day.
Can I ask how you got the garden bug, each of you?
I grew up on a farm in north central Wisconsin, and so it's just something that I've been exposed to my whole life. And I've been fortunate wherever I've gone that there's just this culture of food awareness that really makes me happy. And so I like getting involved in things like this to keep that going and to sort of spread awareness to people who might not otherwise know.
Okay, that was Amanda Raster, event coordinator. Jackie.
This is actually my first full season of gardening. I'm a new gardener. So what really got me involved was the Food at First Cooperation. I'm really interested in hunger and social issues, so I was tired of talking about it, and I really wanted to do something. So this has been a great experience because I get to learn from people like Amanda, who've been gardening for several years, and it's really a platform for learning without being intimidated because you're out there and you're doing things by hand, and it's really applied knowledge, and it's really great to learn.
And the community aspect, I think, is important to it's just a very supportive space, and there's a lot of exchange of information, and, you know, beginning gardeners can teach things to very experienced gardeners, too, so I think that's a really interesting component of it as well.
That's true. I'm always have my ears open to any tidbit that somebody might offer
right.
about that might help my garden a little bit. Well, so the event is Sunday, mm-hmm. starts at noon or maybe a little bit before
that.
Yeah,
the Food at First Garden starts at 11, and then the rest of the stops, or three of the stops start at noon, and then the rest of the four start at 2. So it's a little confusing, but the information is on our Facebook page.
And the reason we kind of broke it up was because of the one complaint last year that the garden host wanted to do the tour, so now he can do the first part and then
right.
host the second. So.
And if I remember correctly, there was food along the way. I got refreshments
mm-hmm.
at several
yeah.
of the gardens
yeah.
during the
yeah.
tour.
Yeah, that wasn't planned on our part, but several of the hosts were gracious and did that, so that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember last summer it was incredibly hot.
It was very hot.
This. So this should be really nice this yeah. year with our weather.
We surprisingly had a great turnout last year, even though it was so hot.
Oh,
so we're
yeah.
hoping that it's even better this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for coming in, Amanda and Jackie.
Thanks for having
Thanks.
Us.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio on 89.1 FM, Story City Ames, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Our guests today included Christine DeCordreau from Youth and Shelter Services,
together with Hannah Frederick from the Historical Society,
who told us about the upcoming celebration of the 100th anniversary of their headquarters, the former municipal building on the corner of 5th and Kellogg. The celebrations will start at 4:30 on Wednesday and will be located in front of the building there.
We spoke also today with Crystal Davis from the Ames Chamber of Commerce, together with Mackenzie Haddons and Sarah Batari from the Leadership Ames class, and these were the folks who made Cyclone City happen, that is, all of the Psy statues those of us who live in Ames are seeing everywhere, all 30 of them.
And our other guests were Amanda Rasper, coordinator of the Ames Edible Garden Tour that will be happening this Sunday, along with Jackie Nestor, one of the coordinators of the Food at First Garden on Ontario at Trinity Reformed Church. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and check us out on Facebook. You can also listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, and we also will have links to all of our guests and their relevant information.
KHOI is now streaming live on the web at khoifm.org. There's a link there on the homepage. Tell your friends and family, and also if you missed a show or want to hear a show again, you can listen to them live now online, not live, but in our archive on the website, and the shows are archived in real time, so you can just see the Listen Live link on the homepage, and that'll lead you to both the live stream and the archive. Tell your friends and your family that are out of town and beyond our listening area.
Your participation as an audience and your generous donations help make KHOI possible.